Well, we're going to take another break from our Jeremiah study and going to be going to the passage of Scripture that is our theme verse for our school this year. I'm going to be sharing very similar thoughts tomorrow with our kids in chapel, but I was thinking about all of you here that pray for us on a regular basis. We're all in this together. I know that even if you're not up here every day, that many of you pray, and many of you, some of you are on the board, some of you work in different parts of the ministry, and we all want to be in this together, and I want you to know what our theme is about this year, so you can pray effectively. I do appreciate the prayers of all of you. Pastor was telling me yesterday that there are several families and kids that are in our YAC program, baseball and soccer, that have registered in school this year. And the first thing that went to my mind was that's an answer to Pop's prayer. Pop prays that frequently. In our men's prayer group, he says, and I pray that it would be, as a direct result of the YAC program. And that's an answer to prayer. And we see little things like that. And we're in this together, praying for each other. I'm going to give you some things at the end that we're going to go over tomorrow that you can pray specifically for, about what we want the Lord to do in the hearts and lives of our students. We've got a lot of new students. We've got students that have never been in a Christian school before. We've got some students that have been in a Christian school before, maybe in other states, or have been with us for a long time, and some are coming out of homeschool perhaps, and other things. And so we want to pray for them that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. That's our priority, is for them to know Christ. Yes, they're going to learn a lot of neat things, hopefully, about science and history and math and how to add without using your fingers and taking your shoes off to use your toes and all those kind of things. You can chuckle. It's okay. But we want them to learn those good things and to have extracurricular activities and fun times together with their classmates and with their teachers. But most importantly, number one, we want them to know about Christ. And so our theme this year is from 2 Peter chapter 3. If you'll turn there in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Of course, the goal of our life, or not really the goal of our life, the goal of the Lord for our lives, of every person, is that they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they come to Christ, the Lord wants us all to grow as Christians. It's kind of our theme here. So we're going to be discussing that with our students this year. What it is to be a Christian. Why we're in sin. What does it mean to be a sinner? What did Christ do for you? What is the plan of salvation to be able to come to Christ? And then not just to stop there. Well, I got salvation. Whew, that's over with. No, that's not the mindset of a Christian. Well, I got saved. Good. I don't have to, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. No, we want to grow in the things of the Lord, to not be stagnant, to not be still in our walk with the Lord. Let's begin in chapter 3. I'm going to kind of pick a few verses out here. Verse number 14. Now, in chapter 3, Peter's talking about the Lord is going to bring an end to some things. He's going to eventually dissolve all the elements of the, melt the elements with fervent heat, bring judgment upon the earth, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And those are the things that we are to look for. Verse 13, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so therefore, verse 14, for this reason, since we're looking for that end in Christ, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That little idea there of being diligent, to be diligent, means to make haste, to exert yourself, to put forth effort and energy into these things of being at peace, of being without spot, of being blameless, to be unsullied, to be irreproachable, to work in our lives in such a way diligently to be concerned and exert effort and energy into the Christian life. You know, we have in our world today a lot of different things vying for our energy, vying for our attention and our effort, and we pour that into a variety of things. They say, practice makes perfect or whatever. You may have heard those kind of things. I had a piano teacher. I took it one time way back in, second grade, took a semester or a year of piano. I learned to play one song. I can still play that one song, and that was it. And I think that my mom was about tired of hearing me bang the piano when my brother and my older sister could really tear the thing up really nicely. And I'm over there, no idea what I'm doing. So I took 1 year of piano, and there was a man there that was over the fine arts department. And we'd always say, well, practice makes perfect. And he would go, no. Perfect practice makes perfect performance. And I was like, ooh, perfect practice. The idea there is you've got to work at something. If you wanted to be, for example, an excellent basketball player, you just can't just walk out on the court and I'm automatically really good at dribbling the basketball and those kind of things. No, you've got to work at it. You've got to put practice in and put effort in. It's the natural thing of life. Well, we have to work at our Christian life too. I'm not saying we're working to earn our salvation, but we've got to put some diligence into studying God's Word. We've got to put some diligence into walking with the Lord, into making decisions that will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to make haste and exert ourselves and put effort in the right places. And many times we're putting them in things that satisfy what we like to do. We put a lot of effort into what we want, and the things that we enjoy to do and what we want out of life. We put a lot of effort into those things. But Peter is saying here, we've got to put effort into our Christian life to be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, God is very, very long-suffering to us. He mentions that in verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Well, salvation comes to us because our God is patient with man. If you look up at verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Our Lord's patient and long-suffering to mankind. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has the Lord not returned yet? Why has the tribulation and all those things not happened yet? Why has the final judgment not happened yet? Because our God is long-suffering. And He's not willing that anyone perish. More time so that we all can come to repentance. And we'll emphasize those things, of course, with our students as well, that we want them to come to know Christ and then to work to be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And that brings us to verse number 18. Of course, the middle verses there, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but there's really a couple options here. If you are not diligent in your Christian life, then another option will more than likely happen, and that's the kind of thing in verses number 16 and 17 that he talks about. Verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before." We know that Christ is going to return. We know that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, that there's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, God's going to judge. We know those things are coming. But if we just kind of ignore that, verse 17, "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." To put energy and effort into being steadfast. To maintain the Christian life. Lord, I'm going to make an effort. It's not easy sometimes to wake up a little extra early and to read your Bible and pray. That's not easy sometimes, especially when you put a lot of hours in and you're tired and, you didn't get much sleep the night before and, man, I've got that prayer list again. Or I've got to study God's Word again. Sometimes it's hard. Just be honest. We're not trying to be some great spiritual. We're normal people and it's hard sometimes. But to maintain that steadfastness, to put that effort in, to put that diligence in, that we want to continue on with the Lord. So either we're going to be led away in error, or we can do verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. To ever increase, to grow. Again, if we are not going forward with our God, then we're going to go the wrong direction. I can maintain just where I am. Well, that's that casual drifting idea of Hebrews chapter 2. Take heed, Hebrews 2 says, to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you will let them slip. The idea in the Greek there is to let them drift away, like a boat that's not anchored, and it just slowly drifts away, and the next thing you know, you're lost. So if you just kind of have that nonchalant attitude and aren't wanting to grow with Christ, then you're going to drift away. But verse 18, to grow in grace. Now that word grow is, and I'm not getting into the, lexical, syntactical, the nitty-gritty things, but we've talked about that in Sunday school quite a bit. It is an active imperative. Now, I know school hasn't started yet, young people, and I know grammar class is a long way away. Well, not really, about 24 hours away maybe or so, I don't know. Or less than that, actually. This is good stuff. Active means what? That you are actively doing this action, right? Versus the passive. Anybody having nightmares again back to English class or grammar or something? The passive is somebody's doing something to you or for you, but active, you're actively doing it. And that is this word, to grow. It is active, that you have to do the job. You're just not going to naturally grow in Christ if you aren't seeking to grow in Christ. It's almost like my front lawn, We don't have a sprinkler system and it's too hard to get out there and drag hoses all the time because I'm so busy. So what happens to my grass? It becomes a desert. And then Isaac comes over every now and then and blows the sand around for me with his mower. And we have a nice looking desert out in the front yard. Well, what happened? I didn't really take care of it very much. Don't water it. I'm not putting all that diligent effort into it actively. So what's going to happen? Things begin to decay. Things begin to die. Things turn brown and it looks ugly out there. That's the normal way things go in life. But if I'm actively going to grow, that I have to make the decision to do that. I have to make the choice to do that. It is an active imperative. Now, if any of you remember what the imperative is, maybe you don't, I don't know, but it is a command. It's a command. If we are found in Christ, the Lord is commanding us here. This isn't an option. It isn't an option. Well, I don't feel like growing in grace. I don't feel like growing in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to kind of relax and let it's not an option. It is imperative. We must grow in grace and knowledge. And as the Lord pours in that grace, as He pours in the knowledge, we can grow then even more because of His unmerited favor. Now, I wanted to point out three things tonight. Three things about growing in grace. I'm going to share these with our school body tomorrow. So now, that doesn't mean some of you that are here tonight can kind of sleep through chapel. Maybe you're sleeping tonight. So sleep tonight. I'll get you tomorrow. You can work that out on your own conscience. I don't know. But to grow in grace, we've got to follow three things that I've just pointed out. There's many others that we could look at, but there's three basic things I wanted to point out and make sure we understand. And these are things that you can pray for about us as teachers, administration, and as even our students over the school year. First of all, if you want to grow in the grace of God, you have to maintain humility. You have to maintain humility. Do you want the grace of God in your life? Well, I mean, everybody would say, sure, I'd love to have the grace of God in my life. We spoke about this several times this summer. If we want the grace of God in our lives, then we should not allow pride to rise up in our life. Because what does a proud person think? I don't need any help. I've got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't need anybody telling me. It's like, going into class, I already know everything. This teacher's not going to teach me anything. It's like when Michael again went to reading class. He was like, I've got this reading down. Spelling is his specialty. Comes by it honestly. Sorry about that, Mike, but I'm picking on Michael tonight. But, you walk in, I don't need anything. Or it'd be like little Jesse going up to Miss Divine tomorrow and saying, I already know all of it. And you'll go, and after you get done laughing hysterically, that pride prohibits you from being in the position of a learner, doesn't it? Pride prohibits you from being in the position of realizing that I even need to grow in the things of God. I've only coached a little bit, and that was about 10 or 12 years ago, and I guess they were like, boy, this is so bad, we're never asking him to coach anymore. But I've talked to several coaches before, too, and they always tell me one of the hardest things to do is to coach someone that's unteachable. You ever had somebody like that? I had a coach that was telling me, he said, I watched this kid and I tried to help him and he just wouldn't listen to what I would say. And he said, man, I could fix this problem he has in 5 minutes if he would just listen to me. But no, I got it. I'm 17 years old. I know how to shoot the basket. I know how to hit the baseball. I know how to, throw the football or whatever it is. And it's hard to teach someone that's not teachable. And what is that all boiled down to? Just one word, pride. It's down to pride. And so if we want to grow in grace, we have to maintain humility. Flip back a few pages to the book of James. It's right before, go back to 1 Peter and then to the book of James. You know this verse. I think we've referred to it two or three times this summer. It's also mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5. Same concept. Peter and James both refer to this. Chapter 4, verse number 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? What? Our spirit is naturally proudful. It's naturally pride in our hearts. We're born rebels, basically. And we think we know everything. Verse 6. But, in spite of that, God giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, again, we're talking about grace, do you want more grace in your life? Do you want to grow in grace? God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. You want to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then, as my dad used to tell me all the time, get rid of your pride. Just get rid of your pride. Maintain humility. Be humble. be in the position of learning. God will fight against you if you're proud. You won't be able to receive correction. Listen to this verse. Just listen to this. You don't have to turn there. It's one of the Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know, foolish people don't like correction. Foolish people are proud, and they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to grow and continue on in the things of the Lord. If the Lord corrects us and chastises us because He loves us, our pride says, Lord, You don't know what You're talking about. I didn't do that. You know, our first many times action is to defend ourselves. You know, or, you know, I remember being a boy and your pride always comes up, doesn't it? When mom tries to correct you or dad tries to correct you. Well, I didn't do that. You know, I had four other siblings, so I had plenty of people to blame it on. It never worked, though, for some reason. And my mom and dad always saw through that. But it's easy to like, well, it was my brother Aaron. It was him. Or it was my little brother Daniel. And you always baby him because he's the young one. He gets everything he wants. I was the middle child syndrome. Are you catching any bitterness here? No. I'm just messing around. But it's easy to say, well, Lord, that wasn't me. No, that's pride. That's pride. And I've tried to teach myself. I'm not perfect by any means at it, but I try to learn. Even if I'm getting reprimanded, even if I didn't do everything that I was being reprimanded for, you know what you always ought to do? Just stop and be humble and say, Lord, what can I learn from this? What can I learn? Well, they misreported. Okay, whatever. That's going to happen. People are going to get false information. But say, Lord, this situation came up. Maybe it was a little unfair or not. Who cares? You brought it into my life for a reason. What can I learn from it? And maintain humility. You know what will happen? You'll grow. Grow a little more in Christ and in His grace and in His character. Got to move on quickly. This verse is repeated also, as I said, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, but it's talking in that context about the humility in our relationships with each other. To be clothed with humility and to subject ourselves to each other. You know, if you have humility with each other, you'll also grow in the things of the Lord. Not putting yourself over other people or thinking you're better than others. Let's just be humble and we'll grow in grace. Let's move on. To grow in grace, not just number one, maintain humility, but number two, we've got to desire, love, and absorb. Desire, love, and absorb the Word of God. Flip back to 1 Peter. You're in James, go a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First of all, we talked about you want to grow in grace, you better be humble. You want to grow in grace, number two, you better desire, love, and absorb the Word of God. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. What's that? That's our pride again coming up. That's pride. That's our way. That's our self and the things that we want to say. Let's lay aside those things. That's a conscious choice as well. To stop those things. And number two, verse number two, as newborn babes desire. It means to intensely yearn and long for. A deep burning desire. The sincere, pure, holy Word of God. Why? That ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is, there it is again, gracious. You want to taste the grace of God and keep feeding on the grace of God, that you can grow in the grace of God? Then you better desire the Word of God. You better make it a priority in our life. Well, there's so many scriptures that we could look at about the Word of God and how it helps us to grow. There's so many opportunities in our life to do that. We come to church and we worship and we learn from God's Word. Why? So that we can grow. Or we do our devotions and we read God's Word and pray for Him to speak to us and help us to understand the Word of God. Why do we do that? So we can grow. Desiring to hide God's Word in our heart, to crave the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to pursue after the Word of God. You know, if we want to make God's Word number one in our life and paramount, then we're going to have to silence some other things. Silence the noise around you that the world likes to pour in to distract you and to get you off track, and to focus on listening to the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God. And then thirdly, as our time is leaving us, not just to maintain humility, not just to desire, love, and absorb the Word of God, but also in Colossians chapter 2, if you'll flip there, to simply walk with God. Walk with God. Do you want to grow in grace and knowledge? Then again, as we read earlier, you have to make some choices. You have to be diligent. You have to make an effort to walk with the Lord. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received Him tonight? I pray that you in this auditorium have, that you trust Christ as your Savior, that you've received Him, that you've accepted His gift of grace in your behalf, that before the Father right now, you are declared to be innocent. That you're not guilty of all of your sins because you've received Christ. As you've received Him, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. That's the idea of being stable, to be stable and to continue to build up or to grow, what we've been talking about. Established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, there's a lot of deep truth there that we don't have time to get into, but you want to grow in grace and knowledge? Then walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk in His ways. Simply follow and obey what God has told us to do. Put the ideas of the world and all the things that we like to do that just, we always like to make excuses for why we do things. We need to start thinking of, instead of trying to make excuses, let's just do what's right. Let's go above and beyond to honor the Lord and to do right in our lives, to be therefore rooted, built up, and established. You know, we have to make that choice that I'm going to walk with God. And again, these are things that are imperatives. They're imperatives in the language here. They're commands of God. He commands it. We must do it. We must do it. This is what we want for our lives with the Lord, not just us personally, but also for our school this year. I pray that you will remember us and think of us and that you will write these things down to pray that our student body and us as faculty as well will be humble this year. To pray that we will desire and love the Word of God. To pray that our families, our students, our teachers will walk with the Lord this year. Because then, as we close, we can see Psalm 144. If you'll turn there, our last verse, Psalm 144. Another familiar verse, 144. Verse 12 is very common, but we often leave out verse 11, don't we? In order for verse 12 to be true, we got to go back and have verse 11 be true as well. Verse 11, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now, if we want to see growth in the Lord, we want to see walking with the Lord, then we may have to cut some things out of our life. We may have to be rid of and be delivered from those wrong influences. Maybe there are things in your life that are like these, verse 11, these strange children that mouth speaketh vanity. Now, what does that mean? Are there people in your life that all they talk about is frivolous things? All they talk about may not even be necessarily wrong things, but they're things that don't help you grow in Christ. And the Lord may have to cut some of those things out of your life. He may have to cut some people out of your life. He may have to move you in a different direction. So that then you can see verse 12, that our sons may be as plants, grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Is that what we want for our sons and daughters? Is that what we want for the children of Santa Rosa Christian School? To see them planted, to see them growing, polished. That means there's some cutting going on. That means there's some confrontation going on and some character building going on. And we've got to be faithful to do that so that those roots will go deep, so that that polishing will be done correctly. And so that we can see at the end of this year, young people that have grown in Christ. That's what we want for our student body this year. I know that, again, I'm going to repeat a lot of these things tomorrow, and that means Ann might text me and ask me if that means she has to be there or not. I don't know. She was joking with me last week a little bit. This is what I want you to know that we're doing as well. And I want you as Grace Bible Church to keep us in prayer this year, that Christ and spiritual things will be first in all that we do. And from there, it will permeate all of the programs of the school that the Lord allows us to have ministries in. Father, I thank you for our church here, for their prayers, for their support of our school and the ministry of the school. I ask, Lord, that as we enter into this, the 57th year of Santa Rosa Christian School, what, Lord, longevity you've allowed us to have, your grace and mercy, your faithfulness to do that. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just rise up in pride and think, well, we got it, Lord, we can take care of this again. Father, you could snatch things away instantaneously. Father, I pray that we would be found on our knees before you, humble before you, seeking, Lord, each day to minister faithfully to what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that we would see growth in our lives this year and as a church and as a school, to see young people continuing on with their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we'll give you the glory and praise for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.